You're listening to SBS News.
Rachel Margary was just 31 years old when she had a stroke on her way to work in 2019.
The first thing I noticed was both my hands went tingling, like pins and needles. And I didn't think anything about it to start off with. And I thought, I'll be right. Then I start realising that my vision is starting to go splotchy, so like black and white, and I can't focus on anything. And I thought, oh, this is a bit weird. And then I also started to notice that both my hands went weak.
By the time she got to work, she was feeling really unwell. But despite being a St John ambulance officer, she didn't think that what was happening to her was a stroke.
I didn't receive the facial droop, but I was becoming incoherent and I wasn't able to put my sentences together. I was slurring my speech. I couldn't even focus to unlock my phone so my work colleagues could call my next of kin for me. So by that point, I knew something was bad, but I didn't realise to the extent of how bad it was until the CT scan came back and the doctor came in and confirmed that, yes, indeed, I had had a stroke.
Elliot Williams is a nurse practitioner and clinical lead for St John Ambulance, New South Wales. He says there's a really simple acronym that can help you to assess whether someone is having a stroke. It's called FAST, F-A-S-T. F is for face.
Look at the person and see, does their face look drooped on one side? Can they open their mouth normally? And does the face appear symmetrical? So that is that it looks the same on both sides.
A is for arms.
It's about asking the person whether they can lift both of their arms up, whether they can move both of their arms normally. And that also can extend to their legs. So whether they can lift and move both of their legs normally.
S is for speech.
Try and ask the person to talk to you and see whether or not their speech sounds slurred. Oftentimes when someone's having a stroke, their speech can sound particularly slurred, or it might be very difficult for them to say words or to express things in a normal way.
And T is for time.
The longer you leave someone without medical care for a stroke, the higher the risk of permanent brain damage. So it's about saying if any of the things in the FAST assessment are positive, that is, if they've got a facial droop, if they can't lift their arms, or if they've got slurred speech, that you need to call 000 for an ambulance immediately. It's also really useful to have some idea about when these symptoms started, because that can be really important information for health professionals in the hospital to know what the appropriate treatment for someone might be.
Strokes occur when blood supply to the brain is lost, either through a block or break in the artery. They impact one in four people worldwide and kill more women in Australia than breast cancer and more men than prostate cancer. Jude Charanovsky is the National Manager of Stroke Connect at the Stroke Foundation. She says while strokes are often thought of as an issue affecting older people, they can strike at any time.
As you start to get older, your risk of having a stroke does increase. But apart from that, stroke can actually happen to anyone really at any age in their life. So there's a very small number of children each year that have a stroke, right through to people that are working age and people that are older.
She says high blood pressure is the most significant risk factor.
So people need to know what their blood pressure is and work with their doctor to manage it. Apart from that, the risk factors are mainly the things we all know about. So it's about doing the things that we know are good for us and keep us feeling really good. Eat well, keep a healthy weight, don't smoke, get some exercise and speak with your doctor about alcohol and your risk of stroke.
While she didn't have any of the risk factors involved in stroke, Rachel Margary considers herself to be one of the lucky ones. Her colleagues have been really supportive, and aside from occasional issues with her speech, she's physically fine. While it's been an emotional roller coaster, the experience has helped her at work.
It's interesting when if you've taken someone who has had a stroke and they're older, and then I tell them that I've had one, and the look on their face, they're like, no, you're too young. And I'm like, strokes can happen in young people. It doesn't have to be older generation. It can be even unborn babies can have strokes. So having that communication when I've been transporting patients has been really good. because I can empathise with them a bit more.
Noongar man Justin Kickett hasn't been as lucky.
I noticed when I was having a drink water, water was running down the side of my chin. And then I sang out to my wife. I said to her, I think something's wrong. I was walking funny, and I said to her, can you come look at me walk on? Because my walk on's not that good.
His wife recognised his symptoms as signs of stroke immediately and rushed him to hospital. But despite the speedy response, Justin's been left with permanent damage. He's lost the use of his right arm and walks with a bit of a limp.
Try to use my left hand to the right and stuff like that. And had to get the cab modified to the drive. I can't tie my shoelace. I get someone to tie my shoelace. If I can't do anything, I'll ask for help.
First Nations people in Australia are 1.6 times more likely to be hospitalised as a result of a stroke than their non-Indigenous counterparts, and 1.3 times more likely to die. The median age of onset of first ever stroke in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is 17 years younger than other patients, and their burden of disease for stroke is 2.3 times as high. In response to those disparities, the Stroke Foundation has launched a new booklet specifically designed to help First Nations people live well after their stroke. Our Stroke Journey was created in collaboration with Indigenous people. Jude Charanovsky says having culturally relevant resources available is vital in helping spread key information about strokes.
There are specific things that those communities really like to see in their health information, and basically the more likeable the resource is, so it's written in a way that is good for culture and community, and it's presented the way it looks, and it includes stories from people Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander backgrounds, the more those things are in place, the more likely people are to actually, you know, get into it and read it and get the information that they need and share it with family and friends.
Justin Kickett's story is among those used in Our Stroke Journey. He believes if the booklet had been available when he had his stroke, it would have helped to speed up his recovery.
Over time, you learn to live with it. Because the way I think, if you dwell on what happened to you, you're sort of like, you won't go anywhere. So when I think about it and talk about it, it helps me to move forward. When I think about what happened to me and how I come through my stroke, and to help other people.
Our Stroke Journey booklets will start to become available in languages other than English later this year. And FAST resources are available on the Stroke Foundation's website in Arabic, Traditional Chinese, Simplified Chinese, Greek, Hindi, Italian, Korean and Vietnamese. Amy Hall, SBS News.